This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. You have Josh Young on first base. Jock Peterson hitting a high fly ball along the first base line. And appears their first baseman ran over there and wrangled it. So you do have one out for the Rangers. Adolis Garcia stepping into the batter's box. Tie game now 2-2 after a monster shot with Janko on base for the Cubbies there.
Gage Workman, top of the fourth inning.
Yeah, Gage Workman. Yeah. Gage Workman nearly hit it over the fence that holds the entire yard. There's a shot into right field. It could drop, and it did.
Dropped.
Josh Young had to hold up, so he'll end up at first and second there.
Runners setting up the burger, Daddy.
That was 390 feet that Workman home run went.
We might get a burger Jimmy Jack.
We could. Two on, one out, Jake Burger.
Impressive poke. Okay, here's Wolchuk with your NFL news today.
DBs are flying so far at the Combine today. Texas's Jahdae Barron running a 4.4. How about UTSA's cornerback Zah Frazier, who I got to check out at the Shrine Bowl? Mm-hmm. Good player. Runs a 4.39. You got Kentucky's corner Maxwell Hairston, who is widely considered a second rounder, runs a 4.3. Maybe that bumps him into the first. Who knows? Iowa State corner Darian Porter, a 4.3, and K-State cornerback, I'm a big fan of, Jacob Parrish, 4.36. So corners are crushing it. Oh, that's going to
hit too hard.
Berger hit that ball so hard it one hopped the center fielder, and Young could only get to third.
I thought that was going to score Josh Young the way that came off the bat.
Yeah, it could have. I think he had to hold up just a little bit.
But Igashioka's going for home run two of the day.
Wow.
So now he's in the box. This is a fun inning. Rangers offense is going off right now. Okay, we did get a lot of news regarding the quarterback deal now because Matthew Stafford is staying with the Rams. Rams have now announced they agreed to terms with Stafford on a restructured deal. Sides are finalizing that. It's going to factor in that Stafford is year-to-year at age 37. His 2025 cap number was already almost 50 mil with over $22 million in dead money in 2026. So the restructure keeps both sides happy. Giants now, the great thing is they were really trying hard to get Stafford. Raiders thought they had a chance too. Now they're out on this. So the Giants are pivoting to one, Aaron Rodgers.
Let's go. That'll be funny twice a year. You know, I think that is a sign that your front office doesn't know what the hell they're doing. You've got a tag-up situation, and the Rangers now have the lead. 3-2.
Should have dropped that ball, man. That was a mistake by the first baseman there playing that ball. Like, he didn't have a chance.
I'm surprised he couldn't throw him out. I mean, that was not too far down the right field line, but he came over there into foul territory and makes the out. Maybe he didn't know the guy was running?
No, he had his back to the infield there. I mean, he just dropped that ball and then, you know, fight for another day. But, man, you just sacrificed a run there for making a play that you could have probably just, you know, maybe got out of the inning on if you would have just dropped it.
The other runners advanced, so they got runners on second and third now. Rangers looking to break this thing open, but they got two outs.
Raiders are considering Russell Wilson and Sam Darnold, according to Mike Silver. So that's their new plan of action as soon as Stafford was no longer available. So Giants going for A-Rod, and then the Raiders are going for Wilson or Darnold. Darnold makes some sense, I guess. I don't know what the Wilson connection with Pete Carroll is, why everyone keeps saying that.
How do you guys like this as the headline the day that the news breaks that the Giants have signed Aaron Rodgers? G-Men. Tripping Dayballs.
Tripping Dayballs.
I think that's your headline.
I like it.
Man, I see what you're doing there.
Put that in 3 inches.
Ooh. Pilar going oppo, and it's
snag out on the warning track. Alcantara out there making that snag on the outfield. Damn, he hit that hard, though. End of the inning, Rangers got one on, so 3-2 they lead as we head into the fifth. Cam Ward is not going to throw at the combine. He's doing interviews. We also did get to hear from Emeka Egbuka. Okay, this is Ohio State wide receiver that I think could be in play. He's a first-rounder, one of my favorite receivers in the draft, tremendous route runner. If the Cowboys were to take a receiver, he'd definitely be one that I'd love them to consider. This was him talking about the Cowboys' new receivers coach, but also his visit with the boys.
You know, there's Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Julian Fleming, Jamison Williams, Cameron Babb, Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, that's probably one of the craziest rosters I've ever heard in my life. So I think some of you can just picture what that room was like. And that was really the reason I decided to go to Ohio State, was because I didn't want to go to a place where I wasn't going to be challenged by my peers. I wanted to go to a place where, in order to see the field, I had to grow and at an exponential rate, because they were all growing as well. So being able to play with them and just being in that competitive atmosphere is why I'm standing before you all today, for sure.
Have you met formally with the Cowboys?
I've not met formally with the Cowboys. Yes, sir.
How was that experience?
It was awesome. You know, Junior Adams, wide receiver coach, I've known him for a very long time. He actually coached my wide receiver coach in high school when he was at Eastern Washington. So, you know, we've had a long relationship ever since I was in high school. He's awesome. I love spending time with him. And we stay connected all my 4 years throughout college.
So you got a connection there with the Cowboys wide receivers coach, and he did. I mean, this guy, he's capable of being a top wide receiver, but he's playing with Jackson Smith and Jigba. Then you've got Marvin Harrison Jr. Now you've got the freshman phenom Jeremiah Smith. I mean, it was a who's who from Ohio State, and then he mentioned the other names when he started there, what that receiver room was like. I love Emeka Egbuka. To me, blocking, he's incredible. The route running, he's just a smooth player. You talk about guys that aren't necessarily projections, traits. I think he, there's no doubt about it, is going to be a successful wide receiver at the next level. Some look at him as a slot player, but I think he can win outside.
I could see that with his size, but I mean, very impressive. Total professional. From what I can tell, like they say, he's one of the hardest working guys, one of the best teammates that you could have on your team. You know, I wonder how much another wide receiver would really help this team. You know, and I think until you can make them pay for playing coverage, they'll just play coverage. And we've seen CeeDee Lamb be a receiver for the Cowboys that the other team can't take away for significant stretches of his career. Other than that, like anything short of CeeDee Lamb, I think the defense can scheme you out of that. And you got to make sure your running game is great. So if Egbuka is the best player at 12, I think you could take him and be very happy for a long time. But as far as what this team needs in order to excel and be balanced offensively, I don't think that gets you closer to winning a playoff game immediately. The biggest impact that you could make would be at other positions than wide receiver.
Yeah, and for him, where he will help in the running game is the blocking aspect of it.
Nice.
Like, the dude's an outstanding blocker. So that's something where the Cowboys don't have good blocking wide receivers at all right now. CD's okay. He's willing to do it. I guess Mingo, that might be his best trait. But Egbuka, to your point, like, if you want to improve the running game, he would do that as an outside weapon. But I get where you're coming from. Diana Russini, talking about Travis Hunter, said the character, all the stuff teams are learning about him in those meetings, he's been blowing teams away. He's just a really, really good guy. He has just been dominating this entire process.
He's very comfortable talking to people.
And he does the podcast deal.
Yeah, he's going to come off as very polished. He's going to come off with thoughtful answers. He's going to be funny. He could be serious. You know, you watch the tape. He's going to interview very well because he's comfortable being around people. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, you show nerves when you get in those meetings. You know, people can, those coaches and scouts can tell when you're anxious and nervous and uncomfortable. He's never going to come off that way.
No, true alpha.
He is. He absolutely is. Now, Quinn Ewers, we're talking about meetings with teams, and I always love just getting some insight on how these went. So Quinn's there, and we found out he was playing through the season with an oblique injury, and all the other Texas kids out there have been dominating their 40s. I mean, Bond's out there saying, I'm going to break Xavier Worthy's record. Jadon Blue did the same thing. But Quinn said he met with the Steelers, and he told Aditi Kinkawala of CBS Sports how some of that combine meeting went.
So let's talk about the Steelers. How was that meeting?
It was great. It was great getting to talk to, you know, Coach Tomlin and just get to know him a little bit and him getting to know me.
What's the best thing he asked you? What did he ask you that you said, you know what, that's a good question?
Oh, it was funny. We started talking about my major.
Okay.
It's like what Cardell Jones said, you know, we didn't go to college to play school. but no, it was good getting to talk to him. And
What was your major?
Physical culture and sports.
So he wanted to know what it is? He wanted to know your classes?
Yeah, he wanted to know what it is, kind of like what my final GPA was. But
what was your final GPA?
It was around like a 3.3, 3.4-ish.
Okay, so like a B+.
Yeah.
Was he impressed or?
He just wrote it down in his notebook. But, you know what they say, C's get degrees. So, but, you know, I didn't finish school yet, so.
Did he get on you about that?
No.
Mike Tomlin has swallowed a dictionary, so when he's asking you academic questions.
Yeah, I bet.
What else about the Steelers? Did they really put you on the board?
No. They didn't put me on the board, which was really them and one other team that I didn't get on the board. I think they were just really trying to get to know me. And then I know they're going to be at the pro day for me, and I'm sure we'll have conversations after or before then.
There's a lot that I took away from this. The swallowing of a dictionary was interesting. who was lying?
The quarterback.
Well, Quinn admitted he didn't even finish school.
Yeah, but he said like he's got a 3.3. It sounds like he wasn't really sure.
C's
what
C's get degrees because a 3.3 is like a B.
Sounds more like a 2.7.
Probably didn't know really what the GPA scale is.
Yeah, was he trying to kind of circle back and say, uh-oh, wait, they might check
3.3,
my GPA.
Maybe not. Maybe it's a 2.7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. But either way, hey. I'm a C guy, C student.
Jeez.
I liked it. I thought that was a good interaction with Quinn. But swallowing a dictionary from Mike Tomlin, quite the visual.
Never heard that in relation to just trying to paint the picture of somebody being extremely intelligent.
No.
But what was his – did he say his major was – physical culture
of sports.
Of sports.
Yeah.
Was that a made up major?
And he was still pulling a 2.7, bro.
There's just a lot of things I'd never heard in that clip.
I was kind of confused there for a minute. Hey, I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but man, I was kind of like, oh, okay.
If teams hear that, he's going to drop another round or two. They didn't even put him on the board. They're like, we don't want to embarrass you anymore. Thanks for your time.
He's a good kid.
No, he's a great kid.
I mean, I think gonna be a good backup.
The character, I think, is outstanding.
Good backup in the league, in my opinion. Maybe in one of your fifth round picks, if they want to take a quarterback, you can take a flyer on Quinn. Howie Roseman's doing it again, and this is just frustrating. We've been hearing the reports all week about, oh, could the Eagles be in on Myles Garrett? Well, here's the latest smoke to that fire from Diana Russini on Scoop City.
Here's what some people are saying right now, that Howie's willing to move on from some of these guys because he's looking to make a big swing, and that big swing would be for Myles Garrett. Some of these guys think are a sure thing may not be sure things to return to
I'm
Philly.
In. I would rather have Myles Garrett than Zach Bond.
Put it past Howie Myles Roseman Garrett. Going after Myles Garrett.
Absolutely
no way.
Not.
Continue to build and build and build in the area that got them to the Super Bowl and in the Super Bowl's pass, which is
Jalen
to continue
Carter
with
and Myles Garrett.
Could you imagine that? Wow. Look, but is Cleveland going to move him? At the end of the day, it's going to come down to that.
It's just annoying to think about this. All right, Josh Sweat, get the hell out of here. That's fine. We're not going to re-sign you. You know what we're going to do? We're pivoting. Myles Garrett, come on up. And then he ends up being a darn Eagle. And this is the kind of crap that Howie Roseman does. And it's what's got the Eagles at the top.
Boom. Ba-dum. Stick.
Ba-dum.
Is that Leody Taveras?
Leody has left
Look
the building.
Look at Leody.
Nice shot there to left, right center.
Having himself a good spring so far.
Yeah. Is that his second home run?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Tear him up.
Two dongs in 1 week for Leody.
So you've got the Eagles trying to get better. They might make a big swing. And then the Commanders and the Texans, according to Jordan Schultz, Starbucks own, had significant interest in trading for wide receiver Deebo Samuel. Talks are progressing in recent days. Steelers and Broncos have also checked in. But he believes Houston and Washington are the two most aggressive teams to land Deebo services. Now,
the former assistant general managers at the Commanders,
Adam Peters,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a link here, but I. Out of the options that have been floated out there, like whether T. Higgins was a big name, I think he's staying in Cincinnati. Other teams realize that, so that's why you had like New England's backing off on that. I don't know that, like, I'd be okay Deebo going to Washington, maybe. I don't think that one's going to scare me as much as some of these other moves they could possibly make that a weapon.
I mean, the problem with Deebo was he was such a threat in the running game and the yak, and all of that just seemed to die. You know,
shoulder problems. A lot of injuries, stuff. I mean, yeah.
His play style, right?
His play
so
style.
It's one that it's difficult to age well at that position.
Yeah.
So this is one where I don't know. I mean, the availability at this stage in his career has become a concern. I don't think they would be acquiring the player that was really just igniting fear when the Cowboys were taking on San Francisco in the postseason back-to-back years.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I don't think you're getting a full, productive 17-game season out of him. But the other dot, too, with the Texans is D'Amico Ryan's
sure, yep, absolutely.
Head coach,
fair
happy
point.
With the Niners, so it's definitely teams that know him well, and maybe they just know what kind of dude he is and the type of worker that he is, but we have seen him balloon a little bit and up 20 pounds or whatever this offseason.
It's true. Not in the best shape of his life season at all.
Yeah, I mean, Washington has a lot of potential, a lot of cap space. We need to see them fail on their big decisions, and I think that would be very risky for them.
214 says he's washed. I think that's the perfect way to put
washed.
It.
Washed. Like, I'd be
or
cool
he's approaching the wash line. And
sure, you could get another big season out of him, maybe one more.
Okay, so the other big receiver trade that I saw floating out there was DK Metcalf. So you've got Corbin Smith in Seattle, and then Peter Bukowski. Okay, I didn't say Butkowski, I said Bukowski. They're discussing a trade with the Packers. Trade would involve the 23rd pick and another one of Green Bay's young receivers. So immediately I'm like, Brian, gang of seven, can we find out what the hell is going on with DK Metcalf? Because if all of a sudden, like, you're giving up a young receiver in 23. Is this legit? Is he going to be on the move? Green Bay adding DK? That could be a little bit scary inside the conference. That's an interconference move. What did you hear about this, Bri?
John's not trading him.
This is ball sacking.
Yeah. John said not trading him.
Not trading him.
Yep.
Not trading him. So don't believe these reports of DK Metcalf right now. Last thing, NFL news of the day. I thought the Saints were going to move on from Derek Carr after Ellen Moore went ahead and was like non-committal during his presser, but I guess today they kind of hinted that Derek Carr is going to come back. They think they can win with him. They were Mickey Loomis was saying at the combine. Maybe this is also the salary cap hit. If they were to move on, they'd probably be in on a lot of over the cap dead money. And maybe Derek Carr says, okay, I don't know what my market would even be like. I'll go ahead and take a pay cut just to stay here in New Orleans. I mean, the first two games were magical for the Saints. Maybe they're hoping they can channel that with a new head coach.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Okay, if the Cowboys do attack free agency, who are the tier one players they could target next week? That's coming up next as we take in the scene live in spring training. Coverage brought to you by Asco Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed, and we're back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. We're live in Surprise at the stadium watching the Rangers and Cubs play. Rangers do lead 4-2 here in the top of the sixth. I got to tell you, Jack Leiter looks good. Okay. Dude. He's been challenged a couple of times with the ball just right on the edge. I know that's a huge concern for him. How can I throw strikes without throwing meatballs? And I think he's what we're looking at here is a good winner of work.
26 strikes on 39 pitches, 4 Ks already.
Wow.
It's been good.
He's getting it done. Is this the third inning he's pitched in?
Yep.
I believe it
yep.
is. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on this and pass along anything of note. We are anticipating Jake Berger is going to join the show when he checks out of the game. But here we are in the sixth, and he's still out there standing at his first base position. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It is time for the C-Note here, Cowboys news of the evening. Jerry Jones is going to talk with reporters coming up on Wednesday, Wolchek.
Yeah, that's what some of our friends out there in Indy have said, that he's probably going to end up talking Wednesday. I think that's when they've scheduled the Zach Martin special send-off that they're doing for him, so that makes some sense. It's already naturally kind of built in. The media is going to be there, so he'll chat with them then.
Yeah, you know, no need to double up. It'll be interesting. You know, you had the Steven quotes early this week. By the time we get to the middle of next week, there should be free agency news and decisions starting to trickle into the new cycle. And hopefully at that point we'll be looking at, you know, a team that's shown even more signs of being aggressive and building this thing out. I've kind of had the epiphany or the thought at, you know, this winter and now going into free agency, for all the faults that we talk about with the way that the Joneses go about doing their business, it's not an ideal GM situation. I think they could win big if they just decided we really got to go for it. We have, I don't know, 4 years of Dak Prescott's contract. Who knows what happens after that as far as having a legitimate franchise quarterback. Let's try to make it happen now. And if they would do that, I think they could absolutely do things their way and still have success. They just keep building rosters with massive holes in them and then expecting them to beat better teams in the playoffs, more physical teams in the playoffs, deeper teams in the playoffs. So I assume that at some point in Jerry's life, he'd want to go make his absolute best foot forward at doing that again. I think you have enough star players. Two corners that can go get the ball, one of the best rushers, one of the best wide receivers, an offensive line that's good enough. I mean, you have the foundation of a team that could contend. So hopefully when Jerry talks next Wednesday, maybe this is strategic because they're going to be, you know, unleashing a new era. And it's been their way of doing things. You know what I think might have happened here? Remember the Nnamdi Asamoah offseason there? It was a strike offseason, so we weren't getting a lot of news. But right as teams were starting to get finalized there, it was late July,
They were at a practice.
Yeah.
In San Antonio when that was going down.
They thought they were getting awesome. Yeah. Jerry actually talked about it with Richie and Grego. Yep. Like, oh, hey, we're going to pass the phone around. I think we're getting ready to announce something. This is exciting. They didn't get him. Where did he go? He went to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Where Vince Young famously said, we've put together the dream team.
Yep.
And it failed. And then the next year you got Brandon Carr, and he was just okay. Wow. Even though he's one of the top signings. And I think at that point they decided, guys, when we go into free agency, it's just too dang risky. We could, I mean, we thought we were going to get this great corner, and we dodged a bullet here not getting Asamoah is what ended up happening, because his career as a good player was over. He went from, like, being the best corner in the NFL with the Raiders, like a coach on the field. They said he had, like, the ability to anticipate what the other team was going to do. He went from checking all the boxes to being bad. And I think the mistake they made is in believing that that risk meant you shouldn't try free agency anymore. They're like, oh, we're going to outthink the room here and, you know, go cheap. And it ultimately it's blown up in their face. Now, we did the story, I think it was late last week. Team signing players in free agency, it's still a fail a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like at every position, the top signings, there's like over a 50% chance that he's going to play worse than what he played at for his prior team. So I could see where the math is. But what the Eagles do is when they mess up, they go get another player.
Right.
Like, wow, that signing didn't work. Now we got to trade for somebody. And, you know, you could absolutely make something big happen. This team only needs six good players.
Yeah, I think where the Eagles now, after winning the Super Bowl, I think what they realize is, you know, and they always say this, hey, you're never going to have the same team from year to year. I think Philadelphia is going to start living that. I think Philadelphia is going to try and keep their core guys. But if there's guys that they absolutely can move on from and go get other guys, they're going to be willing to turn their roster. You know, some people say, wow, they gave up a Super Bowl winning roster. And it's like Howie's looking at it as like, man, I can't count on these guys to play great again next year.
Yeah.
So he's going to keep churning his roster. And maybe the thing that he will keep consistent is his offense and defensive line. And then everything else that he'll just continue to kind of churn and see if he can make his roster, you know, once again, a Super Bowl winning roster. I always believe this. I mean, I think it is the way it is now. Dallas builds a roster that's good enough to win the division. That's their ceiling. Where the Eagles, and maybe now you're going to have to worry about the Commanders, because they've got a general manager in there that came from that 49ers system. That knows how to build rosters.
And a new owner that's eager
exactly.
to do whatever it exactly. takes to compete. I feel like, guys, if the Cowboys won, they would look at all their players as they have a special connection to the fans.
No question.
And we don't want to get rid of these guys.
No question.
Whenever fans see a Super Bowl champion on TV, they're like, you know, there's value in that.
Yep.
I mean, teams that win ultimately bring back their champions for opening night or a big ceremony. I mean, there's value in there and how the fans connect. And certainly we saw Nico on the complete other side of that spectrum screw it up that way. But it's you know, I think more dangerous to be too loyal to your guys.
I think Howie is not loyal to anybody but trying to build the best roster that he can. And he's taken the attitude as my roster will never be the same, championship or not. Every year it's going to look remarkably different. And he accepts that. He embraces that.
Adolis Garcia opens the Rangers half of the six with a base hit up the middle. A little ground ball situation, got past the shortstop. And now our guy Jake Berger here is up to bat once again as the Rangers lead 4-2. What do you say, another home run? Then head into the clubhouse and join the G-Bag Nation.
He's 2-for-2 today.
He is hitting the absolute heck out of the ball.
He is, man.
See why told us yesterday some of the exit velos all triple digits, and the hit that he had last time up had to be 108, 109. That thing was smoking as it left the infield. I saw there's a greater chance of the asteroid hitting the Earth than the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl in 2025. This asteroid percentage currently sitting at 3.1, Cowboys chances at 1.4.
Mm.
Hopefully this asteroid not coming anywhere near a major city. You're going to have to evacuate. This is a city wiper. You know, so best of luck. I suppose we'll be tracking that pretty good, and NASA will let us know here before.
How close are we talking about here? Years or, you know, what are we talking?
I think
about?
This is in 2026.
Oh,
they're
oh.
talking about there's a 3% chance of a asteroid that could take out a city.
Oh, in 2026.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they're spotting it. You know, this year China is going to test some anti-asteroid tech that they have on a smaller one. and see if they're onto something or they got to tweak their formula here before the big potential showdown in 2026. I mean, a 97% chance basically it takes a big turn.
They just need to get Ben Affleck and them up in a rocket, right, and kind of land on the asteroid,
figure it
break
out.
It up, you know.
I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, I think Bruce Willis had more.
Bruce
to do
Willis.
With that.
Yeah, he did.
Well, I think you know. I mean, he said, "Hey, take care of my daughter," that kind of thing. You know, so. You got to do what you got to do.
I thought that movie was pretty corny and poorly acted, so I checked out on a lot of it.
It was about an hour too long.
Yeah. Okay, we go to big-name wide receivers the Cowboys could target if they do actually attack free agency. This is Saad Youssef in The Athletic.
Here we go. Berger got himself a walk.
Nice job. Good eye, Berg.
Back on base.
T. Higgins, number one on this list. Cowboys go after him. Is that a $30 million wide receiver?
Yeah. Sure. That's just, I'd love it. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. T. Higgins and CeeDee Lamb together, let's go party. But I think he's staying in Cincinnati.
Yeah, a little too rich for the Cowboys, I feel like. If there's a wide receiver out there, it's probably got to be in the Brandon Cooks $10, $11 million range at most.
Yeah.
Higashioka trying to lay down a bunt, move the runners over. There's nobody out. Two runners on here for the Rangers, bottom of the sixth, looking to add some insurance runs to their lead as they head into the seventh. Trey Smith is not happening, right? Chiefs tagged him?
They tagged him.
So you go to another offensive lineman. I would love this. Ronnie Stanley feels like he has been in the NFL since Ray Lewis's rookie year.
Yeah. He played for the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, did Higashioka get another one?
He did.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Second dong of the game.
Yeah, take that, Cubs.
He went from trying to lay down a bunt to just saying, let me just dong this real quick. Let me get that Jimmy Jack.
He just said, he told Bocce, he goes, listen, I ain't bunting. All right, Botch.
Yeah. Botch.
He's just not going to bunt.
Dude, he's got like a six RBI game now. This is amazing.
Strong guy there, that Higashioka, has been brought in to be the backup catcher to Jonah Heim. I don't know, the way he's swinging it right now, maybe he's going to be the starter. If you had to bet right now who's going to play more games at catcher, Wolchuk, tough to say.
I do think offensively Higashioka is definitely better. Defensively, Heim's better. So
yeah, but what have you done for me lately?
It's a pretty damn good 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah, no doubt. Ronnie Stanley, number three. Is there any chance of him on the Cowboys?
I don't think so.
No, I'm putting in the guarantee, actually, Dawson. He's going to be a Cowboy.
Thank you.
Not.
Well, Chuck, that's what I needed.
I think the Patriots are going to throw a bunch of money at him.
He's not leaving Baltimore. Shut up.
See that.
I think Saad right here probably wasted a couple hours on this list.
What are you saying? Oh, Pilar. Boom. Base hit. Let's get it, boys.
Hey, and shout out to Pilar with two great plays at the wall today as well in the outfield.
Yeah. Flashing the leather.
This is a World Series damn champ we're watching.
It does not look like early returns are good on our guy out there hitting lefties, Evan Carter.
Oh.
So
well, Evan Carter got scratched from the game today.
Oh, did he?
He's got the crud.
Got the crud going
around.
Oh,
man.
That was the report, too. It was like he's got the crud.
CY had the crud yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys noticed.
Oh, and I was using his headset?
Yeah, that I was going to bring that up in biggest dub.
Well, and I had an awkward interaction with him. I went to shake his hand. I could tell he didn't really want to do the handshake.
He shook
my
hand.
And I just shook it anyway.
He
wanted to get you sick.
I intentionally got up and left at the end of that segment so I wouldn't have to shake his hand.
I thought it was because you had to fart.
Well, no, that was last segment, actually.
No, you're just one of the most social people on the earth. That's
I did. I let out a tester in the men's room there at that last break when I was going number one.
Respect.
And I was like, oh, my God. I got to walk around outside here just to let the pants air out. This is the worst gas I've ever had. Milton Williams, the defensive tackle, number four.
Let's double up. Let's get him in.
I like Milton.
I'm interested to see where he ends up. If the Eagles don't bring him back, if they're going all in on Myles Garrett, who ends up throwing the bag at him.
Chris Godwin, number five. That's another wide receiver. He might be up there and injured enough to be
in range. I think Godwin could be, maybe you get a one-year prove-it deal for Godwin coming off the injury.
Zach Bond, 28 years old. That would be a shame if you gave him a big deal and he came here and didn't play half as good as you did for the Eagles. I don't think that one's possible. He probably earned himself close to $20 million a year, right, with that season?
That's a great
question.
He
was one of the best.
I mean, him and Bolton. Honestly, I'd love either one. Yeah. Let's do this thing, man. That's what the issue is.
I would take Bolton just because I think he's proven it.
Yeah, more consistently. Yeah. I mean, his entire career, he's done it year over year. Bond's kind of a one-year wonder.
Right.
But I think the Saints were just misusing Bond the whole time.
Yeah, they were using him as an edge.
Yeah.
Instead of an off-ball linebacker.
Got it.
Oh,
okay.
That was very close to the chin area on Marcelo Ozuna, but a stolen bagger there?
No, I think he's out.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, the Adolis Garcia pinch runner did not get down. He should have. I don't know if he needs to go back to slide and practice there on the backfield or something. That was an odd sequence of events. But the good news is the Rangers got two home runs from Higashioka this afternoon, the latest putting them ahead 7-2 against the Cubbies here. They're on their way to another dub if the bullpen doesn't blow it, which is going to be a storyline throughout the year. Everywhere I go, people are very confident about this Rangers team. They keep saying, what about the bullpen? Got to get through the bullpen. So we got our eyes peeled for that as well. Krusty's Corners coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, there are a lot of these draft risers from the combine. I'm going to see if Wolchuk likes any of them. We'll do that next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We're live in surprise coverage brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. And on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. Rangers and Cubs out here on the diamond. We're going to get Jake Berger here before too long. It's time now, though, for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We're going up 8-2 here, Brian.
I like it. I like it.
Here's Krusty.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Tell you what, man, and thank you to Reliant as well for being out here with us. I'm digging this, man. I'm digging the Cubs getting beat like this. I mean, I know it's...
Seems personal.
It is very personal to me.
Yeah, did they do
Ex-wife's
something?
From Chicago, so...
Okay, that's right. You were telling us
kind of
that.
Making this personal.
It all makes sense now.
That's why you don't like Wrigley. You went on your first date there.
Actually, before I got married and went to a game.
Yep.
Took all the groomsmen to a game.
Ruined the whole damn thing. I can't go back.
That was an omen for your entire marriage, the groomsmen to Wrigley.
When they fly the fly, when they fly the W, I flew the L there. That was my deal right there. I flew the L. Okay. Wolchuk, I want to kind of pick your brain on some stuff.
Pick it.
It's not a lot to pick.
Well,
who's your pick to click?
Yesterday, okay, you know, today we've got these secondary guys, these corners and stuff. I mean, they're flying in. You know, Monday we'll circle back on them, but we kind of have an idea of
I believe Dawson is hammering home some glazed donuts out of a plastic bag right now.
No, the glazed donuts
are glazy.
Was that a real donut shop or was that a gas station?
Gas station. Yeah.
Gas station. No,
I thought maybe Abby baked those too for you and you've been holding out on us.
Did you really take a tray of those sweet rolls back to your room?
No, I ate.
Seriously, the lady asked me, she goes, "Hey, I saw somebody, it might have been in your party. He just picked up a whole tray of sweet rolls, left the top on the ground."
It was, okay, so there's 8 per tray, 3 were missing. So did I take the whole tray? No.
You took 5?
Did I take the rest of the tray? Yes.
I did the same thing with the pork sausage
you
patties.
Did. In fact, they're out of pork sausage now at that Holiday Inn, if anybody's flying in and staying there.
Sorry.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, I got a sweet tooth, man.
So, like, I saw some young kids that were like, "That Mom, I'd like a sweet roll," and there was just, like, none there. It's like they'd been just, it's like, oh, the people come out, and I was like, man, there are no sweet rolls today?
Good engineering on those trays, by the way. They create a little bit of a greenhouse almost where they're staying warm perfectly. They do. Right?
Seriously, do you have a couple of trays stacked? Did you have them in your room? We just left them and hoped that the service would come in and grab them?
Well, they've been doing the service when we're here doing the show.
I
left with a tray and some other stuff in the room, and I returned. It was gone.
So you felt like, oh, I need to get another one.
Mission accomplished. Yeah. Getting another tray tomorrow.
They took money, though, that they thought was a tip, so I think we're even. It wasn't meant to be a tip, but it is now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, did you leave it out next to the tray?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I just had emptied my pockets when I got back from the airport or when we got in from the airport. I had some cash in there. Next thing I know, it was considered a tip.
All right. Good deal.
It's fine with me. You know, pay on the front end for good service.
So, like, you got a tray of sweet rolls for 48 cents or something like that?
I think it was $5.48.
Okay. I just want to make sure of that. All right. Wolchuk, this Shamar Stewart. From Texas A&M, we're talking about him, like the workout he had yesterday at 6'5", 267.
Freak.
And, okay, here he is. His official split was the 158. That's the 10-yard split. When you're looking at these offensive defensive linemen, you always look at the 10-yard split. That's outstanding. The 4.59 on the 40-yard dash was incredibly impressive as well. Wolchuk.
What up?
Does this guy play to how he works out for you?
No, not at all. And he is an athletic freak. I mean, the dude was a two-sport athlete in high school, football, basketball. He can line up all over the formation. The production does not meet the physical attributes of the player. He is a traits, my gosh, I can mold this ball of clay and get him into a star. Like the physical comps with Myles Garrett side by side, that's awesome. Myles Garrett had the tape to match. Shamar Stewart, in my opinion, does not. Now, he is a guy that generated a lot of pressures.
Yeah.
That did not lead to the sacks. Like, he was a guy, you look at college football, he was amongst your leaders in pressures, so he's getting to the quarterback. He's just not finishing. I just didn't see consistency with him. I can totally understand why teams would look at him and say, oh my gosh, that is a supreme talent. Let's get him in our building and see if we can get ourselves an all-pro capable player. He scares the heck out of me.
Yeah,
I just don't know that I would risk it.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one though. I did not see the you know, when you watched him rush the passer and you talked about the pressures, and I watched a couple of games there. Missouri was one of the games. LSU was one of the games.
I thought Will Campbell did a really good job.
Campbell did a really good job against him, and so I'm kind of one of these guys. I'm with you on this. I know people are talking about him as a first round guy. Boy, I don't even see him as a second-round guy, just the way that maybe some of the things as a passer. I thought some of the stuff that he did as a run defender was better than some of the pass rush stuff that he was doing. So I have some I'm gonna trust my eyes on what I saw in the film, and I'm not going to let the workout influence me that much in this one. So where did you have him yourself? Did you have him in the second round?
I did have him in the second round. But, I've got probably about six other edges in the second round, and he's fifth
of the
six.
He's down the list. Okay, have you seen Landon Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, Landon Jackson's another edge that is from Arkansas, and he had some similar numbers. He's 6'6", he's 264. He had a 40.5 vertical and a 10.9 broad jump. So that was just 2 inches shy of Stewart. His 4.68 in the 40 and the 1.68 10-yard split weren't as impressive as Stewart's, but for his size, those are pretty good numbers. What did you think about Landon Jackson? He's an edge out of Arkansas.
Yeah, so he's a Texas kid from Pleasant Grove. He actually transferred from your LSU Tigers.
He sure did.
I did not think that he was a very good pass rusher. I know he had an awesome game against Bama 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That production did not carry over to this year. He needs to improve his hands and power. He can win with speed around the edge, but he lacks consistency. And I don't think his pad leverage is very good either.
Yeah.
So, to me, he can get overpowered. He can get thrown around. He's a high-motor, never-quit type of player. But I've got him in the third round.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that I don't think the pass rush ability matches how he tested.
No, not at all.
Not at all. So I was kind of like, okay, I didn't see that testing coming. But if you look at those numbers, that looks like to me a guy that worked on drills to be good at those drills. But I can't marry this what I saw in those drills
no.
to how he played.
And if you were to ask Arkansas fans, they'd probably say the same thing.
Okay. Last one I want to get to here, Wolchuk, real quick, is that James Pierce from Tennessee, the edge rusher there. Now, he is an interesting guy because he had a 31-inch vertical jump, which is not very good for a guy that's that explosive. He had a 10.3 broad jump, which was better. Maybe he was trying to kind of cheat the vertical jump and just couldn't get it done. But the 4.47 in the 40, the 1.56 split on the 10. So those were really, really good numbers for that position. Okay, when you watch James Pierce, there's people talking about him solidify. Oh, now maybe he's a top 10 player. I did not see a top 10 player. I see a good pass rusher. I don't see that type of a top 10 player in this guy from Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he tested well. I did see his pass rushing traits on film. The dude is a super athletic freak, and he does have a natural feel for getting to the quarterback. So he could arguably be one of your top pass rushers in the draft. So teams are going to covet that. I could see him going in the first round. I've got him at the top of the second. The thing with him is, if I'm playing against James Pierce Jr., I'm running right at him, and I'm neutralizing him. He can't set the edge. He's light, and I'm just going to blow him off the football. I saw that happen a lot. Watched him against Bama, Georgia,
Oklahoma.
NC State. Oklahoma, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He can make plays crashing down the line
sure. In
the running game, but if they run straight at him, he's going to get bullied off the football. So elite pass rusher, but, I mean, he might end up being a net negative as a run defender.
Yeah, I've seen him kind of walk bigger linemen backwards, so there is a little bit of some power there with him, but you said about setting the edge, that's where I think he has the biggest problem. I think as a run defender, there's some real inconsistencies to his game. When the ball is right at him, there's some issues, but when the ball goes away, that's where a better chance for him to run it down and stuff like that. So to talk about him as a top 10 player, boy, I have a lot of problems with that. I think he could rush the passer, guys. I think the run play, I think Wolchuk's got him right. I think he's one of those guys that's really, if you're going to pick somebody that high, you're really doing it because of his ability as a pass rusher, not as a run defender as well.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay, Jesse Chavez having just a little bit of trouble here in this seventh inning. The Cubbies have pushed one across, but the Rangers still lead 8-3. One out, one on here for the Cubbies as they try to mount what would be a spring training comeback for the ages. But bullpen getting a little bit of a real-life test here. We'll see how Chavez does as he tries to settle down and get a couple of more outs to get out of this inning. We're standing by for Jake Berger.
He did leave the game.
Yes.
He is out of the game now.
Joel Embiid out for the year. So that's a tough one there with that knee. I'm not sure what the future holds for the multi-time All-Star there for the 76ers. As they trusted the process. At times it looked very promising. But, you know, this is the final chapter of a sad book of Philadelphia 76ers history, that's for sure. And now he's out for the year. I guess Paul George can go back to podcasting now that he doesn't have to worry about making a playoff
to win a championship.
Hey, so we got Jake Berger coming up in a proper round tripper to boot. Well, Chuck?
Yeah, I'd love if Berger just slid in here. But if he doesn't, then who do you think is going to lead the Rangers in home runs and the most likely teams to go from losers to the postseason? That's next.